Amen. We're going to look at three chapters tonight, Numbers chapters 2 through 4. Numbers chapters 2 through 4, the Levite principle. We've become culturalized as a spectator mentality. In sports, a few play and a whole lot watch. In entertainment, a few talented people perform while many watch. In politics, a few professionals stay in office seemingly for a lifetime while the rest of us sit and complain. And in church, often there's the preacher, the teacher, the musicians do their thing while a lot of people just occupy pews and watch. So is this biblical? Is this what God has designed for the church? Well, I believe that what we're going to look at tonight is a principle among the Levites that will answer that question for us. So let's begin to look. Remember, there was the numbering of the people. Numbers chapter 1, verse 47 tells us the Levites were not numbered among all those other tribes. Rather, the Levites were separated from everyone else for a very special responsibility, and that was to take care of the tabernacle. And among the Levites then was the Aaron and his sons who served as the priests. The Levites had a distinct position in the camp. They were camped directly adjacent to the tabernacle, surrounding it. Numbers chapter 1, verse 53, "But the Levites shall pitch round about the tabernacle of testimony, that there be no wrath upon the congregation of the children of Israel." They were to protect the sacred nature of the tabernacle by preventing any Gentiles from defiling it. At the end of verse 51, Numbers chapter 1 and verse 51, at the end it says, "And the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death." Well, the Levites were positioned around the tabernacle, particularly to keep the Gentiles away, but also to serve as a buffer between the tabernacle and the rest of the tribes. Numbers chapter 1 and verse 52, "The children of Israel shall pitch their tents, every man by his own camp and every man by his own standard throughout their hosts." So it gives us a description of where all the tribes were positioned in the camp. Numbers chapter 2, verses 3 through 9 tells us regarding those on the east side. And in verse 3, it was the tribe of Judah. In verse 5, the tribe of Issachar. And verse 7, the tribe of Zebulun. Those were all on the east side. Then on the south side, Numbers chapter 2, verses 10 through 16, you had in verse 10, the tribe of Reuben. In verse 12, the tribe of Simeon. And verse 14, the tribe of Gad. See how it's going to be so easy to get through three chapters tonight? In the center, Numbers chapter 2, verse 17, was the Levites. On the west side, then, in Numbers chapter 2, verses 18 through 24, you had in verse 18, the tribe of Ephraim, verse 20, the tribe of Manasseh. Remember, those are the two sons of Joseph. Because the Levites were separated out from all of the other tribes, they weren't counted as part of the 12 tribes. Initially, they were. Levi was one of the 12 sons of Jacob. But because the Levites are separated out for special responsibility, somebody had to take their place. So Joseph was given the privilege of having two tribes, not just the tribe of Joseph, but now Ephraim and Manasseh, both of them on the west side, and Benjamin as well in verse 22. And then finally on the north side, you have Numbers chapter 2, verse 25 through 31. Verse 25, you have Dan. Verse 27, Asher. And verse 29, Naphtali. Within the tribe of Levi, there were three distinct families. And the men and boys of the tribe of Levi are going to be numbered from 1 month old and upward. So this is all men and boy children of all ages. Numbers chapter 3, verse 15. Number the children of Levi after the house of their fathers by their families, every male from a month old and upward. So in Numbers chapter 3, verse 22, we have from a month old and upward the family of Gershon, and it numbers 7,500. You see that in the verse. Numbers chapter 3 and verse 28, you have the family of Kohath, and they numbered 8,600. And in verse 34, you have the family Merari, 6,200. Which then, in Numbers chapter 3, verse 39, it gives us a grand total of 22,000 and 300. No. Where's the 300? You see in the verse, verse 39? How many does it say? It says 22,000. Is that what it says? 22,000? No, Mr. Wirtz, get your calculator out. 7,500 Got it? 8,600 6,200 22,300 Well, let's read the verse, verse 39. All that were numbered of the Levites, which Moses and Aaron numbered at the commandment of the Lord throughout their families, all the males from a month old and upward were 22,000. What happened to the 300? Oh, no, there's a mistake in the Bible. Do you believe that? Why does God do things like this? Can you believe that regardless of what it appears, there is always an explanation for why it is? I think sometimes God does things like this just to test us to see whether or not our faith is strong enough to trust the Word of God even when something like this comes up. There is actually an explanation, and the rabbis of old explain it to us. 300 of the 22,300 were firstborn Levites, and a firstborn could not redeem a firstborn because these Levites are going to redeem the firstborn of the other tribes. Follow along with me. Numbers chapter 3, verse 13. All of the firstborn of Israel belonged to God. Notice, it says in Numbers chapter 3, verse 13, because all the firstborn are mine. For on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel. That's the firstborn of all the tribes. Remember what happened in the plague, the 10th plague. All the firstborn of all of the families were delivered by the blood on the doorpost. And God says, therefore, I have purchased by the blood all the firstborn. The Levites were to take the place of the firstborn of the other tribes. Now there are 22,273 firstborn of the other tribes, verse 42 of chapter 3. Verse 42, and Moses numbered, as the Lord commanded him, all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and all the firstborn males by the number of names from a month old and upward of those that were numbered of them, were 22,213. 22,203, how many is that? 60 and 13. 22,273. That's how many firstborn there were among the 12 tribes. There are 22,000 non-firstborn among the Levites, which means there is a remaining 273 firstborn to be redeemed from the other 12 tribes. Verse 45. Take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of their cattle. And the Levites shall be mine, I am the Lord. And for those that are to be redeemed of the 273, notice he identifies 273 that need to be redeemed, because there's only 22,000 available Levites to redeem the firstborn of the other tribes. For those that are to be redeemed of the 273 of the firstborn of the children of Israel, which are more than the Levites, thou shalt even take 5 shekels apiece by the poll for each one of those excess 273. 5 shekels had to be paid to the tabernacle. Verse 48, and thou shalt give the money wherewith the odd number of them is to be redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons. And thus, 22,000 Levites replaced 22,000 firstborn. And the remaining 273 were redeemed with money. And the reason there were only 22,000 Levites available and not 22,300, according to the rabbis, was that those 300 were themselves firstborn, already redeemed and belonged to the Lord, and therefore could not redeem someone else. And that's why we have what some would call a mistake in the Bible, but it's not really. There's an explanation for it. I have an interesting book in my library. It's entitled Alleged Discrepancies in the Bible. Somebody went through the whole Bible and researched and explains all these. That's not where I got this information. I got this information from another source. But there is an explanation for every discrepancy that appears to exist in the Bible. There's an explanation. God wants to know whether or not you're willing to trust his word, whether it makes sense or not. Can you do that? So let's get the picture. Who were saved by the blood in the 10th plague of Egypt? Exodus chapter 12, verses 12 through 13 explains to us that it was the firstborn of every family. Saved by the blood. What does that sound like? Sounds like a hymn we sing, doesn't it? Thus, the firstborn of every family in Israel belonged to the Lord. Exodus 13, verse 2, sanctify unto me all the firstborn. It is mine. But then, instead of taking the firstborn away from every family in all of Israel and making them the servants of the tabernacle, which God could have done, he could have said, every firstborn of every family belongs to me, therefore, every firstborn of every family has to come to the tabernacle and serve as the servants of the tabernacle and as the priests. And therefore, he wouldn't have had to separate Levi from the rest, and Levi could have been one of the 12 tribes. But instead of doing that, he said, we will redeem all the firstborn by the Levites so that all of the families can retain their firstborn. Why is that important? What is the importance, at least historically, of the firstborn to a family? Typically, they would take over the headship of the family when the father would die. It was a very important role. And the firstborn was also the one that inherited most of the portion that was distributed to the families of the tribes. And so Exodus chapter 13, verses 11 through 16 explains how that the firstborn of all the families of Israel would be redeemed. So some of them would have to be redeemed with money, but most of them would be redeemed by the Levites. All the firstborn became a picture of all those who are saved by the blood. Are we saved by the blood? Mm-hmm. All the Levites became a picture of those who are redeemed. Are we redeemed? Hang on to that. We'll have a little more of that. But let's continue. Go to chapter 4. And what we have in chapter 4 is a division of responsibilities. In chapter 4, verses 1 through 20, we have the responsibilities of the Kohath family. All the things inside the tabernacle was the responsibility of the family of Kohath. When it was time for the camp to move from one location to another, all of the things had to be covered so that there would not be a temptation by non-Levites to be touching them all the time while in transport. So we have in verse 4, this shall be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation. Verse 5, they shall take down the covering veil and cover the ark of testimony with it, and shall put thereon the covering of badger's skins. I believe that, was that the innermost covering of the tabernacle? I think that's true. They were responsible in verse 7 for the table of showbread, the dishes, the spoons, and bowls that went along with that. In verse 9, the candlestick of light, his lamps, his tongs, his snuff dishes, and the oil vessels. In verse 11, the golden altar, which was the altar of incense. Verse 12, all the instruments of ministry wherewith they minister in the sanctuary. Verse 14, the vessels, the censers, the flesh hooks, the shovels, the basins, the vessels of the altar. Verse 15, when Aaron and his sons have made an end of covering the sanctuary and all the vessels of the sanctuary as the camp is to set forward, after that the sons of Kohath shall come and bear it. So the priests had a primary responsibility of covering a lot of things, and the sons of Kohath then to carry them forward. There was something for everyone to do. I couldn't find a picture of the tabernacle where everybody was doing something, but this might illustrate the idea. For anyone that's listening to this, just the audio, I have a picture here of an Amish barn raising. And I don't know how many there are. There must be 40 or 50 men there. They all have something to do. And that's the way it was with the sons of Kohath. They all had something to do. Then in chapter 4, verses 21 through 28, we have the sons of Gershon. Verse 24, this is the service of the families of the Gershonites. Verse 25, they shall bear the curtains of the tabernacle. These were the curtains that covered the whole tabernacle. The covering of the badger skins that is above it upon it, and the hanging for the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. The hangings of the court, the hanging of the door of the gate of the court, their cords, all the instruments of their service. So anything that was cloth, they were responsible for. Then in verses 29 through 33, we have the family of Merari, and they were responsible for all of the boards. verse 31, the boards of the tabernacle, the bars thereof, the pillars thereof, the sockets thereof. Verse 32, the pillars of the court round about, their sockets, their pins, their cords, with all their instruments. So everybody had something to do. Now, there's going to be another numbering. The initial numbering of the Levites was from 1 month old and upward. But now we're going to number those are from 30 years old to 50 years old. Why? Because you have to be between the ages of 30 and 50 in order to serve. Boy, if you could retire at the age of 50, what are we doing? Verse 35 of chapter 4, from 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old. And this is the family of the Kohathites. In verse 36, there's 2,700. I guess I have a typographical error on the screen. It's 2,750, not 2,850. Sorry about that. In verses 36 through 41, we have the Gershons. And in verse 40, it's 2,630. Got that one right. And in verses 42 through 49, the family of Merari. And in verse 44, it's 3,200. And in verse 48, it's 8,580 is the grand total. I got that number right also. All right. Because the numbering of the redeeming of the firstborn was from 1 month old and upward. The numbering for the actual service was from 30 years old to 50 years old. The Levites became substitutionally as the firstborn of God. Numbers chapter 3, verse 12. And I, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel, instead of all the firstborn that opened the matrix, among the children of Israel, Therefore, the Levites shall be mine. They then became, in essence, the firstborn of God. Would you go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. But you are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Now it is true that Jesus is the firstborn of those who are resurrected. But that's not who this is referring to. How do we know that? Well, you can't see it, but I can see it. Sorry. I don't know how else to say it. But in the Greek language, the word firstborn is plural. We are, as far as God is concerned, just like the Levites, we are all his firstborn. Because we belong to him. In addition, go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. We are all priests. There is a doctrine called the priesthood of the believers. We are all priests. Just like the priesthood came from among the Levites, who were God's firstborn by redemption. How do we become the church of the firstborn? We're saved by the blood and redeemed by him. And thus we become his priests. And then go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Verses 4 through 6 tell us that there are a lot of different kinds of gifts. But verse 7 explains to us that every believer is given a spiritual gift, at least one. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, every person, to profit with all. In other words, there's something for all of us to do. Verse 11. But all these worketh the one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, granted, among the Levites, there was a certain age that you had to attain in order to serve. How do we make the connection there? Well, perhaps, may I make a suggestion? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. We have to be careful not to give someone too young and too immature too much responsibility too soon. For example, it says here, not a novice. Last, being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. We must be careful not to give too much responsibility too soon to someone too young and too immature. But every believer is expected to grow. at the very end of 1 Peter, chapter 5. I think that's where it is. Maybe it's 2 Peter. Oh, 2 Peter. Last verse in 2 Peter. All right. Chapter 3, verse 18. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Some may be appointed to special service, like the Kohathites, who were responsible for the things inside the tabernacle. Very special. Those things were sacred. Some may be appointed to some less special service, like the Merari's, who got to carry all the boards. Doesn't sound glamorous, but necessary. But everyone in the church will have something to do. We are God's firstborn. He bought us with the blood of his son. He redeemed us from our lost condition. We belong to him, and everyone has something to do. That's the Levite principle. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for teaching us from this picture you gave us in the Old Testament. Help us each to understand the significance of our being yours and what you want to use us to do. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.